I've always been the type to go all in. When I get into something, whether it's fitness, food, or just following every twist and turn of the season, I want to explore every angle. That's why Prime is such a game changer. It's not just fast delivery, though getting a new cookbook or resistance bands the next day definitely helps. It's also the deep dives on Prime Video, the playlists that match my mood on Amazon Music, and the way all of it comes together to keep me going. What I've learnt is this: Prime isn't just a service, it's a hub, a place where my interests, old and new, can live and grow. From race day rituals to everyday obsessions, Prime helps me get more out of whatever I'm into, and even shows me what's next. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into. amazon.com/prime.
Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY Carfix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom, you realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit, every time. eBay. Things. People. Love.
There's no decision between maximizing quali or the race. Here, you don't compromise quali.
How were you on those hot laps? Were you kissing the barriers? And
I was going flat out. It's hard to go slow when you're designed to go fast.
This fabled race is won by one of their own. Charles Leclerc wins the Monaco Grand Prix. Yes!
Incredibly special what he achieved last year. It's not going to be as straightforward, but there's always opportunities. Charles is very good at taking those opportunities.
What about your podium predictions?
With Oscar's consistency and stability, I would put my bet not only on this race, but also for the championship.
Welcome to Monte Carlo for F1 Nation's preview of this weekend's Monaco Grand Prix. I'm Tom Clarkson, and joining me in the paddock is former F1 driver and Mercedes ambassador Esteban Gutierrez. Guti, it's great to see you again. How are you, first of all?
I'm very good. Very happy to be here in Monaco with such a great weather and atmosphere.
Well, we're sat here overlooking the harbour. The sea is twinkling at us. It's a magic place to watch a motor race, isn't it? When you think of Monaco, what comes to mind?
I had great experiences here. Raced here many years, and of course, you know, from the GP2 days, which is today Formula 2, and then into Formula 1, qualifying was always the special moment. And, you know, when you really can get the best out of the car, the best out of the tires, the lightest car in the weekend, and the sensations and the feeling were absolutely incredible always.
You raced here in F1 three times. Is it a track that you ever feel like you know? Are you always learning more?
So you're always learning more, but it's a track that it's very popular also in gaming. So when you're young, you're always, you know, you kind of know the track already when you come here for the first time from gaming. But then when you drive, it's a whole completely other story, and it's so special, not only from, let's say, the track characteristics, but also the scenery. You know, the whole experience it's very different to anything else.
You mentioned qualifying earlier. From a car setup point of view, is everything about one lap? Do you even think about the race when it comes to setting up the car?
It's mostly about one lap, because it's so difficult to overtake that qualifying becomes one of the most important things on the weekend. Then, of course, you need to be able to do a good strategy on the race, to be at the right place, the right time, with the right tires. But and then there's also mostly a lot of safety cars. So if you get a safety car and you're at the wrong time and the wrong, you know, wrong tires and so on, it can affect you a lot, or you can gain a lot from that as well. So you need to have a great communication with your team, and of course, lots of different strategy options as well on that.
Well, let's elaborate on the strategy, because we have a mandatory two-stop race this weekend.
That's right, and that's new for this year.
That is new for this race, for this year. How much do you think that's going to mix things up?
I think it's going to make it more interesting, because obviously if you do a one-stop, there's less window of opportunity for other teams to make different strategies. So having the two stops is hopefully going to do or create a more interesting race.
I mean, we had mandatory pit stops in Qatar a few years back, and we saw the pace of the race was intense for the drivers. You know, I think they were limited to 18 laps in each stint, so it was quali laps all day long. Do you think we might see something similar here?
Yes, definitely. I mean, if you have to use more tires and you don't have to really take care or think about the tire degradation, then of course you end up having to push a lot more.
What about the C6 tire, Pirelli's softest of the soft, if you like? The tire made its debut in Imola last weekend. It was a quali tire, although interestingly the Astons and George Russell actually used the medium tire to set their fastest times. But here, do you think the C6 has to be the quali tire in Q3?
Hopefully, because it's supposed to be faster, but I wouldn't be surprised if we end up in the same circumstances as Imola, which again, you know, puts another variable from the driver and the team to make a judgment, because clearly the difference is very small. So yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see those variables.
You say the differences are small. We've seen tiny differences, you know, like Q1, the entire grid, just 1 second at longer racetracks than this. So it's going to come down to thousandths of a second, isn't it? I think the grid positions on Saturday.
Yes, it is. And there is something very particular about Monaco, which is the track evolution. Here, track evolution is very steep, or tends to be very steep. So as a driver, you really need to start off and practice with a very open mind to understand where the track is going to go and to anticipate any car changes throughout the weekend. And that's mostly driver, engineer, open communication, very close communication to understand the expectation of the balance of the car throughout the different practice sessions and also into qualifying. So it's definitely going to put a lot of pressure, and we hopefully can see some surprises on teams, you know, underdogs or teams doing better than other tracks.
Half of the asphalt is new this year. I think they've relayed from turn 3 through to turn 12. I hope I've got that right. Will the new asphalt increase the track evolution that you talk about?
Well, I didn't know that there was a new asphalt, and I drove the hot laps this morning. And I was
Did some of it feel more slippy?
I was surprised. I was surprised with the amount of grip that I felt. And no cars were driving before us. So, we can expect to see a lot of grip there, I think.
How were you on those hot laps? Were you kissing the barriers? And
I was going flat out.
There's only one way.
So always on hot laps, they're telling us, you know, bring the cars in one piece. And of course, you take care, but it's hard for, you know, being a racing driver and being competitive, it's hard to, you know, to go slow when you are designed to go fast.
Do you know, that's an interesting point here. There is no runoff, the edge of the track, the track limits are the barrier. Are you flat out, or are you leaving a little bit of margin?
So when I got in the car this morning, I only did the warm-up lap, and then Kimi was driving for a couple of laps, and then I drove with Kimi as a passenger, and then Kimi drove me. And I only had one lap. And the feeling that I had jumping in the car, even being a road car, was like if I was going to compete. Yeah, like if I was on an official practice session or something, because it's so unusual to have, you know, hot laps in this track. It's the first time that we are here with a hot lap. So it was really exciting, and I really enjoyed it, so I was pushing. It was the same feeling.
but what about in an official session? Let's put your helmet back on to those three Monaco Grand Prix you did. you know, are you building up through practice and you're only actually bouncing off the walls?
Yes.
Metaphorically speaking, in Q3, or are you actually near the limit right from the get-go?
No, I mean, obviously you need to, on the outlap, you need to already feel what's the track condition, how much grip you have, taking into consideration that the tires are not there yet. So if you already feel confident on the outlap and you feel the grip is there, then obviously you can be sure that on the first lap, you're going to have good grip. And then there's obviously the track evolution. Track evolution has a huge impact on the driving style. So you build up through the laps, but at the same time, you cannot compromise too much, because otherwise you're not practicing what you're supposed to be from the start. Every lap here counts a lot, because you can either get traffic or you can either have a red flag or whatever. So you need to make sure that the laps you're putting in are actually pushing, and also to understand how the car is behaving to make the right changes on the car.
And how much do you plan Q1 in particular? 20 cars on a short lap like this. I think it works out at one car every 200 meters all the way round the lap. How much work goes into car positioning and making sure you get that clear run?
Oh, there's a lot of work on that. And I believe that it makes one of the biggest differences. If you go out and you get stopped at the Rascas or in the last couple of corners, then your tire temperatures are going to drop. And that means that, you know, the tires are not going to be at the optimum temperature. And if you have a cleaner air, then obviously that changes the tire condition a lot. So you need to factor in all these, you know, details and variables and understand how much you can push through the first corner even. So if you know that your tires are a bit cooler, you have to compromise a little bit on first corner, but then you can make up time later on in the lap. So that's why Monaco is very special, because it's not like a straightforward track where you actually have consistency in all aspects and you can build up, because even if you do an amazing strategy on traffic management, you will never be always free of air on your outlap. So you need to really manage these things pretty well, and small differences make big changes.
Guti, Max Verstappen said something interesting earlier today. He talked about the importance of rhythm around this racetrack. Can you explain what he means by that?
So usually when you go to a normal racetrack, permanent racetrack, you have lots of references, and you know that if you break at 100 board, you're breaking at the right point. Then you can start adjusting by, I don't know, 2 meters, 5 meters maximum. Also taking into account air condition, direction, and so on. In Monaco, it's not as straightforward. So sometimes you arrive in first corner, and depending on how was your line on the straight, then you have to brake more or less, depending on different factors, as well taking into consideration the tire temperatures that I mentioned. So you gotta make sure that it's a lot about intuition, and it's a lot about rhythm. So what Max has described, and you can only achieve that by continuous lap. So if you realize tomorrow in practice, there's a lot more continuous driving or lapping from drivers than in any other track, and it's mainly to get the rhythm.
And is that all drivers, or can we expect to see that primarily from the rookies? Because there are 6 drivers on the grid who have never raced here in Formula One before. Are they the ones who are just going to be pounding around, finding the rhythm?
Yeah, they will maximize on that as well. But I think I would imagine even, you know, the experienced drivers, they will also be doing that. I mean, anything you can earn of confidence, of rhythm, of understanding your car will help to make the right decisions.
Are there any Monaco-specific things that you change in the cockpit as a driver? Like, is your seat position a little bit higher?
Or yes.
Is it really?
Yeah, seat positioning higher, because it makes a difference if you can get closer to the apex, to the walls.
Just to give you better visibility of the tires.
Even when you go out of the corners, if you have more visibility, you can understand where is that limit.
How much higher? Just can you put some numbers on it?
5 centimeters. It's not much. And there's
the buffeting bad.
There's also a limit on how high you can go. So you have to really make sure that you are below that limit. But obviously, maximizing your visibility, because here in Monaco you will not get that extra benefit of airflow or aerodynamics. You get a lot more benefit by being confident and by maximizing your visibility, and if that gives the driver the confidence or a little bit more confident, then obviously it's gonna help on the rest of the things.
Fascinating. And as you're visualizing your lap before you go out, like at other tracks, maybe at Silverstone you're thinking of Beckett's or Copse, what are the corners that come to mind for a driver here where you think, if I can nail that, that's going to make a huge difference to the lap?
I would say from Casino corner down to the tunnel, so the start of the tunnel, because all this area, there's a lot of variability from how the tires behave on the first and second sector, but also the flow that you can create in your driving and the feeling and the confidence can make a lot of difference. And if you really know that you left something on the table in the first couple of corners up there in Casino, it's not the best feeling to get to the approach of the rest of the lap, because you know that you are disadvantaged. So yeah, it's so fascinating. I mean, I love even just thinking about it and reminding those qualifying laps, and brings me goosebumps.
And when you nail one, I mean, I'm thinking of 2016 when you qualified 12th.
Yeah.
Are the rewards, is the feeling of satisfaction greater here than anywhere else?
Yeah, I qualified 12th with a Haas, which was obviously the first time the team was racing at this track. Okay, so it's a pretty big deal. We have just been learning about the car. I mean, it was obviously the first season, the first half of the season. You get into Monaco, for the setup for Monaco is very different. There's no other track that compares to Monaco. So there's so many things that you have to get right. But I remember very well my lap, and I can still remember the feeling, and it was a great lap, actually. And I remember even one of the engineers came to me and said, man, take your time in Monaco. Romain Grosjean is amazing on this track. He's definitely going to be faster, so just make sure that you build up your speed and so on. And remember, I arrived in practice one and I was like 4 tenths faster than him. And then, of course, in quali, I also beat him. So it was quite a nice weekend in that respect.
When you look in the mirror, you see this old school cowboy.
Of Top Gun Maverick.
Why did Sonny Hayes come back to F1?
Starring Brad Pitt.
Ever seen a miracle?
Pedal down.
Not yet.
On June 27th.
How do you think I feel if you die on the track?
Three laps. Three laps is a lifetime.
Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY Carfix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom. You realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit, every time. eBay. Things. People. Love.
Grandstands he saw built as a kid growing up now rise for him, and for the first time in 93 years, this fabled race is won by one of their own. Charles Leclerc wins the Monaco Grand Prix to achieve his dream victory in his home race. Well done, Charles Leclerc. It's mission accomplished.
destiny fulfilled. You've got that one forever.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Let's discuss the on-track business here then, in terms of the pecking order. Let's discuss that. Let's start with last year's winner, Charles Leclerc. Ferrari seemingly struggling this year through slow corners. That's what Charles was saying in the press conference anyway. That's going to make his job very difficult this weekend.
I mean, it was already incredibly special what he achieved last year. I think it was one of the best stories. Even to watch him win that race and what it meant for him and how many years he's been trying that and what it means also for his family, obviously his father, who passed away some years back. Very special to see that. So, I mean, obviously this year is a different story. McLarens are very, very competitive. We are also very competitive, I feel, here. So, it's not going to be as straightforward, but there's always opportunities here. And obviously, Charles is very good at taking those opportunities. So.
I mean, at other racetracks, from a setup point of view, it's a compromise, isn't it? In terms of, okay, we know we're weak through slow speed stuff, but we need the car to perform. Let's take Imola last weekend through the medium and high speed as well. Here, there is no medium and high speed. It's all low speed. So if you're setting the car up specifically for that, does that give Ferrari a little bit of hope?
Yes, and also there's no decision between maximizing quali or the race, because the setup of the car you can also make a decision to set up the car better for the race and compromise a bit on quali. Here you don't compromise quali. You have to be and qualify at your best. So from that perspective, yes, but then, you know, like you said, if slow speeds are not the strongest of Ferrari, they will probably struggle initially, and hopefully they can get, they will find something so that Charles can be competitive.
So coming into the weekend, are McLaren the team to beat still?
I think so, yeah. But then you have Max, which has been, I think, doing phenomenal with the Red Bull. But yeah, I think McLarens are going to be definitely the strongest.
And what about you guys then? Mercedes, George Russell, Kimi Antonelli. First of all, do you understand why the car wasn't at its best last weekend in Imola?
So there were a couple of issues, but I mean, the team has a pretty good idea of where it wasn't optimized. But I think here, Monaco, again, is such a different track. And hopefully our car will perform the way we want it to perform.
And is slow speed where you're strong?
Yeah, it's pretty strong. So the drivers are generally giving good comments on slow speed. So let's hope that translates to good pace in Monaco.
What about George Russell? Because the intra-team dynamic is very different this year, isn't it? Lewis Hamilton is gone. A rookie's come in to replace him. George Russell, who's still very much at the beginning of his Formula One career, is now the team leader. What kind of praise would you give George for the performances he's done?
Well, I think we can all recognize that George has had 3 or 4 teammates, and he's been quicker than all of them, even against Lewis, which probably wasn't expected. He did manage to be quicker than Lewis in many, many occasions. Now with Kimi being such a great talent, it's obviously his first season. He is very charismatic. He's a great personality inside the team. I think Kimi will develop into a much complete and better driver with the spark, with a lot of talent, you know, with no compromises. Like he's really the kind of driver that, you know, gives a lot of excitement. But George is consistent, is strong, you know, it's, you know, very thoughtful on his decisions and great to communicate on the radio with the engineers and the strategy, and he's involved in all of those details, and it's what makes him a very complete driver.
So Guti, the championship positions currently sit with Oscar Piastri at the top on 146 points. His teammate Lando Norris is 13 points further back, with Max Verstappen 22 points behind him. What about your podium predictions for the weekend?
So I put my bet on Oscar.
Why Oscar more than Lando?
I don't know. He seems very emotionally stable. He seems consistent. He seems to have things under control. Maybe not as edgy as Lando, but Lando is definitely pushing his limits. And Lando is probably quicker most of the times. But with Oscar's consistency and like stability, I would put my bet not only on this race, but also for the championship.
It's interesting that you say that. I think the transformation of Oscar Piastri has been one of the biggest stories of the year. The qualifying head-to-head between those two was 20 to Lando to 4 with Oscar last year. Now, it's the other way around. Oscar has actually been dominating in qualifying way more than Lando. And how he's done that?
Well, that ability as a driver to look at your weaknesses and improve them, it's an incredible ability that will give him so many tools in the future for adapting to whatever car he gets. And those attributes that we can all see from Oscar are just, you know, confirming that he's becoming a very complete driver.
So, Oscar for the win. Who's P2?
I think Max and George.
And then George.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to agree with you on Oscar. I actually think it's going to be a McLaren 1-2.
Okay.
I think you're right with George. I think Mercedes are going to be good on Sunday. God, it's so much fun, isn't it? But I say good on Sunday, I mean good on Saturday.
Mr. Saturday.
Yeah, he was called Mr. Saturday, yes, when he was at Williams, of course. Never more does it apply than here at Monaco. Well, just before we end, Guti, there was a wonderful moment on Wednesday evening when the drivers gathered at the Grimaldi Forum to see a special screening of the F1 movie. The first time that it has been seen anywhere in its final edit. And I have to say it was sensational. I'm so excited about the launch that comes 25th of June. It's going to be huge for Formula One this. Did you go?
Unfortunately, I didn't arrive because my flights got delayed. But I can really say that the way the movie was filmed, together with the weekends and obviously, you know, being part of the grid and all of the different aspects that they took into consideration. Obviously, Lewis was involved, Toto as well, in some way. I mean, it's just fascinating to see how they were able to film such a movie. And I'm very sure, I haven't seen it myself, but I'm very sure that it will be a huge success.
Well, I have seen it, and I'll just say this, no spoilers, but there were gasps during the show. It's fantastic, and you really feel that Apex are the 11th team. They're absolutely in the thick of it as much as anyone else. It's extraordinary how they've managed to do that.
Yes, and that's precisely what I mean. I think it's a masterpiece. Only, I mean, I'm sure it turned out to be, like you say, amazingly well, but already the way they did it is just, yeah, they created a masterpiece.
Yeah, very authentic. Out at the end of June. Book your tickets now. But Guti, thank you so much for coming on and previewing the Monaco Grand Prix. It's always a pleasure to see you. I love talking Formula One, and it's great to see you.
Thanks, Tom. Likewise.
Now go to F1.com or the official F1 app to keep across all the action in Monaco this weekend. And in selected countries, you could watch qualifying and the race live on F1 TV. A little plug for the other official F1 podcasts. Dario Franchitti is my latest guest on F1 Beyond the Grid. The IndyCar legend tells me why his F1 dream never came true despite several chances to join a team. And the latest episode of F1 Explains was recorded inside the Haas garage during the Miami Grand Prix with loads of insight from there. Search for F1 Beyond the Grid and F1 Explains on your podcast app to listen to those. Thank you very much for listening. My thanks again to Esteban. And we will, of course, be back on Monday with our review of the Monaco Grand Prix. F1 Nation is produced by Formula One and Audio Boom Studios.
Memorial Day deals are here at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances, including Samsung. Plus, save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances, $396 or more. Like the Samsung Bespoke AI Laundry Combo, the largest capacity, fastest, all-in-one laundry combo available that washes and dries in one machine. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 5/15 through 6/18. Selection varies by location. Total savings varies based on purchase amount. See Lowe's.com for details.
If your brain is at full capacity with to-dos, birthdays, and dinner plans, meet Skylight Calendar. It syncs your entire family's schedule onto a sleek digital display so you focus on important things like where you left your coffee. Right now, Skylight is offering our listeners $30 off their 15-inch calendars by going to skylightcal.com/talk. Go to skylightcal.com/talk for $30 off your 15-inch calendar. That's skylightcal.com/talk.